Sister Annie thinks I'm a science project. But you know something? I guess I'm not so average anymore.
Hey everyone, welcome once again to the secret world of Cal and Jack, in which Cal and Jack watch Alex Mack. I'm Jack, and joining me as always, it's Callan.
Hey Jack, how are you doing? You having a good time?
I'm having a great time. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Pretty good. And we're back today with episode 2 of season 3 of The Secret World of Alex Mack, which was part 2, the exciting conclusion to the cliffhanger left by episode 1 of season 3, The Other Side.
I still don't really understand what The Other Side is referring to in this title.
I guess it's the other side of Alex's personality.
Yeah.
Maybe?
I guess so.
Is the duplicate, the clone of Alex, is sort of evil and a real badass?
I would have called it Annie spills chemicals on Alex, splits her in two. One of them's bad, one of them's okay.
Part two.
Why didn't they just call it part one and part two? That's pretty good.
Part one, just the episode is called part one.
Yeah, like part one of Alex and part two of Alex.
Oh, that's really clever.
Yeah.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. You should write for this show.
Yeah. I wonder if they're still taking applications.
Yeah. speaking of things that have been said before and will be said again, I think we'll kick off with one of these. Callan, you keen for a Mac fact?
Give it to me.
So this Mac fact comes to us from Callan.
Mm.
Callan, this is a Mac fact that you brought to my attention last week, that we sort of set ourselves some homework of reading the Alex Mack fanfic.
I totally didn't do that, by the way.
That's okay. Neither did I, but I did have a look at it, and I thought it bared repeating that this exists and is good enough to be this week's Mac fact. A few interesting things about the secret return of Alex Mack, the fan fiction written by Diane Castle, which was first published in December 2012 and updated in November 2014 and is now complete. Cal, I don't know whether you looked at this. This story has 235 chapters.
Oh my God.
Is 1,177,163 words long.
Someone's written their PhD on Alex Mack.
And I haven't read the whole thing, but I just wanted to give a few little facts about it and read the first paragraph because it is a doozy.
Mm-hmm.
So the secret return of Alex Mack sees Alex join a fanfic universe called the League of Extraordinary Women, which I think you mentioned this last week. Alex teams up with Hermione Granger from Harry Potter, Major Samantha Carter of Stargate SG-1, Willow and Buffy from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and Catwoman.
Oh, yeah.
The author mentions that she doesn't own the secret world of Alex Mack or any of the other property referenced in the first stories of this series. All disclaimers for the aforementioned works of fiction are listed there in full. So I didn't have time to read all 1.1 million words of this story, but I thought I guess the Mack fact is that the first paragraph of this story is amazing. Chapter 1, Return. Alex got up and ate a big breakfast. She was planning on skipping lunch. Her mum had covered for her while she was gone by telling the school she was out sick. Fortunately, she'd been on a team with the smartest women on Earth. No, even smarter than that. She sort of felt like she had met two.
Smarter than the smartest. That's
smartest women not on Earth, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
She sort of felt like she had met three women, each of them the smartest person in their own universe. And the other three women on her team were really smart and clever, just not world's most uber brilliant scientist ever levels of smart.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it starts. So it's a story. It's a 1.1 million word story about some very smart women.
I think Hermione, you know, she's known for being smart. Like that's kind of her whole deal.
Yeah.
Willow from Buffy, she's kind of known for being bookish and smart. Buffy, not particularly smart.
Is Buffy a dipshit?
She's not a dipshit, but she's a bit of a, like, can't get her life together.
Yeah. Okay.
Kind of, you know. What, like a hot mess?
Is she a hot mess?
She, like, in certain seasons of Buffy, she is a bit of a hot mess.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know if her story checks out. And I'm trying to remember, was it Captain Samantha something from
Samantha
SG-1?
Samantha Carter from SG-1.
I think she was smart. I think she was a scientist.
Yeah, I mean, well, she's a major, which is a pretty high high rank in the military, I guess. So I guess she can't, you know, she's not like a foot soldier.
I guess what I'm saying is kick Buffy off the team.
Yeah.
You don't need two characters from that universe either, yeah, I think.
I think there's an interesting line a bit further on. I won't read the whole paragraph, but I thought this was funny. If you had cover, you had to make it stick. If you had a secret identity, you had to keep it secret outside your team. Selina and her boyfriend, the Batman, had shown her that one.
Her boyfriend.
So I thought what I could do to ensure the longevity of the Secret World of Cal and Jack podcast, I could read one paragraph of this story every episode for the next, you know, 240 years.
Well, I mean, I guess when we run out of episodes, we can always just read chapters of this.
The Secret World of Cal and Jack, in which Cal and Jack read an Alex Mack fanfic.
Read The Return of Alex Mack. Well, that's a good fact.
So that's our fact for this week. But it does bring us on to the episode of The Secret World of Alex Mack we watched today, Season 3, Episode 2, The Other Side, Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thrilling conclusion to the episode which started last week, in which we were reminded at the start of this episode with a previously on Alex Mack.
Yeah, the first time they'd ever done that.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that they'd just done that for all of the episodes and we didn't have to watch the whole thing. Because they can pretty much sum them all up in about 20 seconds. Yeah,
and it made it look like a really exciting episode.
Yeah, and it was not. If you remember last week.
So last week, essentially, Annie got her hands on a new chemical from the chemical plant called GC Divide,
mm-hmm.
Which does something to GC-161 and splits it molecularly in half.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of doing her regular experiments on Alex, she spills some of this stuff on Alex, and Alex split into two versions of herself, one being the kind of normal version and one being the badass version.
So I have one question here, Jack, about mm-hmm. how this whole thing works.
Yeah.
So it split her in two.
Yep.
But when she reformed as two people, they were both the same size. Whereas I think what should have happened is if she split in two to two people, they should both be like mini Alexes, right?
Yeah, like little half-size Alex.
Or
would their voices be very high-pitched?
Yeah, exactly. But okay, like let's say that it also kind of like doubles your mass,
yeah,
in some way, something to do with the chemicals.
Mm-hmm,
when
mm-hmm.
they reform at the end, spoilers, she should be double the size.
These are all such good questions, Callan.
I don't remember where I saw this. I think it was like reading the, maybe I was listening to the director's commentary of The Curious Case of Benjamin Button for some reason. As you do.
Yeah. That kind of makes me think that there's a curious case of Talon Roll at the moment.
And the screenwriter was talking about how, like, he was asked at a – oh, no, I was listening to a podcast, which was like a podcast where they talk to screenwriters. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling the story about how it, like – he'd written The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and someone like asked him at a kind of panel later on when he, so Benjamin Button is born, like if you don't know The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, it's about like someone who's born as an old man and then slowly like ages in reverse. So he starts as this weird like old man baby and then ends up as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of his life. And the question that they asked the screenwriter was like, when he's born, he's kind of the size of a baby, but he looks like he's really old. But then when he dies, he shrinks back down through childhood to the size of a regular baby.
Mm.
When really what should happen is if he's going to be born in the size of a baby but old, when he dies, he should be a baby but the size of a real man. Which I just love that someone wanted to ask the screenwriter why they didn't decide to design the movie, this like special effects spectacular, to have this giant man-sized like smooth baby boy. Because that would have definitely made a much better movie, I think. And I'm not talking just about a like a scaled up baby with the same proportions. Mm. I'm talking about like a 6'2" man with man proportions, but just like baby skin and features.
Baby
so just
features.
Overly smooth and just like kind of Slender Man kind of looking dude.
I like the idea that this person stands up at this panel, like in this Q&A, when everyone else has been like, what was it like working with Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
And this person stands up and is like, so he's born as an old man and then he lives. And when he becomes a baby, he should be a giant baby. I don't have a question.
Yeah. The screenwriter had to talk about how he replied, which is like, I don't really understand the nature of the question, but I don't think that it would make a good movie to have a giant baby man at the end. I don't feel like I need to explain why.
that kind of sounds like the start of another movie.
Yeah.
About a giant man baby walking around.
Yeah, I'd watch that movie. Mm-hmm. I'm a big baby. Brad Pitt wants his binky.
Is Brad Pitt's playing him as a kind of a sexy baby?
Yes, got abs. Yeah. I have abs, but I can't crawl or get up on my back.
Oh, I've got to have tummy time. Anyway, so all that happens in the first 2 minutes of the Alex Mack episode. There's a discussion about giant babies, and Alex splits into a good Alex and a bad Alex. The bad Alex decides that she wants to be the only Alex, so she manages to trap the good Alex in a building that's being demolished, and the episode sort of ends on this cliffhanger of the countdown to the explosion happening, with badass Alex walking away and good Alex sort of whimpering quietly. Meanwhile, Annie sort of figures out what's going on and realizes that she needs to save Alex. So cut to the beginning of part two that we watched today. Alex Mack, in classic boring resolution Alex Mack style, she got into this building through the sewage pipes. Mm. And then...
how'd she get out?
Despairing because she couldn't find a way out until she finds another pipe and gets out.
Yeah.
So she liquefies herself, gets in a pipe, goes through the sewers and escapes just in time for the building to explode. And so she's miles away from home. So she's sort of walking around in the desert for a bit, once again in her pink silk shirt and big blue jeans combo.
I was so distracted by her outfit.
And she wanders around for ages. Meanwhile, badass Alex is kind of just kicking around Paradise Valley causing mischief. She's causing power outages and she's being mean to everyone at school. She makes Scott's girlfriend Kelly spill her milkshake all over herself. Mm. She talks back to teachers and she just generally is getting in trouble.
Yeah.
And, so in the meantime, Alex manages to find a phone booth out in the middle of nowhere. And she calls home just as Annie is about to, explain to Alex's parents, who are worried sick because Alex seems to, she's, Alex, they sort of alternate between they're like worried that Alex has disappeared, but also worried that she's getting in heaps of trouble and being mean to everyone. So Annie realizes that because she thinks that the real Alex, the good Alex, is dead, she has to tell her parents what has happened, in the hopes that they can either help find a solution or just deal with the problem.
Mm.
But just as she's about to tell them, the good Alex calls from this payphone and tells her where she is and asks if Annie can come pick her up. So Annie's really relieved and she enlists the help of everyone's favorite character that we met one episode ago, Uncle Cliff.
Uncle Cliff, whose thing is he like is really into sewers.
Yeah.
And he's like, they got him in on the pretense. They got him in last episode so they could get a map to the sewers to figure out where Alex may have gone, which wasn't helpful at all. They didn't use it. They kind of just looked at the map and go, well, there's a lot of pipes in this city. She could be anywhere. Turns out every building has pipes connected to it.
This doesn't narrow it down at all. You, Uncle Cliff.
So, but they convinced Uncle Cliff that they were doing like a school report on sewage or something like that. And he's like super into it. And so I think they re-enlist him to go help them pick him up Alex, saying that she's out there doing some field research on the sewage center that's out that way or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And Annie manages to get, it's Uncle Ray, Uncle Cliff is Ray's uncle. And Annie recruits him by calling Ray and saying, Ray, we need someone who can drive and won't ask a lot of questions. And Uncle Cliff was certainly enthusiastic and excited about going out into the sewers, but the guy asks a lot of questions.
Yeah. And he also refers to Annie as like my beautiful lady or something like that.
He calls her you beautiful thing.
Oh, you beautiful thing. That's even worse. Annie, you beautiful thing.
I know. I thought it had like a kind of a more paternal vibe.
Yeah, no, it was.
Let's cast aspersions on Uncle Cliff.
No, Uncle Cliff is above board. He loves sewerage probably a little bit too much.
He loves sewerage. So they go and pick up Alex, who is once again come out of the sewers and is covered in shit. Uncle Cliff doesn't seem to mind because he loves sewers so much.
Mm.
And they take her home, and there's the final showdown between good Alex and bad Alex in the Mac house.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of have an argument. Annie tries to convince the bad Alex to reform with the good Alex, but bad Alex doesn't want any part of it. And she's zapping away and causing chaos in the house. And they run down to the kitchen. Bad Alex liquefies and looks like she's escaping down the drain to get in the sewers and get away again.
Mm-hmm.
Good Alex liquefies and follows her, but then it turns out it's a trick. Bad Alex liquefies out of the sink, puts the plug in the sink with good Alex still in it, and turns on the garbage disposal.
And she chucks a spoon in.
Did she? Was that a spoon? I think that was the plug.
I thought she put a spoon in the garbage disposal.
Did she? Why would she do that?
I don't know. Because she's bad.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that.
That is actually about the level of bad stuff that she'd been doing.
Spoons go in the dishwasher, not the garbage disposal.
So bad Alex is standing there smirking because she's about to chop good Alex into a million pieces. And Annie is distraught and doesn't know what to do when all of a sudden, hero of the day, Ray bursts through the door and five tackles bad Alex.
Just spear tackles her to the ground, like just full force rugby tackle. It was great.
It was so good. I think he goes,
And before this has happened, though, Alex has used her powers to like throw plates and shit and really mess up the whole room. That was pretty fun too.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. And then so while Ray has bad Alex pinned to the floor, Annie gets a wrench and frees Alex from under the sink. And then good Alex and bad Alex both somehow end up in the dishwasher.
Yeah, they were pinning down bad Alex so that good Alex could merge with her, not really remembering that Alex has the powers to turn into water and you can't really just pin her down.
To be fair, sometimes Alex herself forgets she has those powers.
That's true.
So, you know.
Most episodes.
Yeah.
She liquefies and I think her plan is to escape through the dishwasher or something.
Yeah.
But they both go into the dishwasher.
Yeah. And then the dishwasher fires up and starts shaking around and like sparking. And it seems that the action of the dishwasher merges the two of them together. And then the dishwasher door blows open and soap goes everywhere.
Yeah, it kind of explodes open and looks like the fridge out of Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it was precisely. Cool. And out comes a reformed Alex, who is probably a mixture of the good and the bad Alex.
Well, she's wearing that weird pink satin shirt and the pleather jacket.
So she's reformed and she's back to normal and everyone is happy and safe again.
Mm.
And Alex's parents don't really ask what happened to all the plates.
Yeah. They kind of just like, I'm back to normal now. Sorry, Mom. Yeah. Sorry.
Whoops.
My bad.
But in the end, Alex does have to sort of atone for some of bad Alex's sins. She has to apologize to all her friends that she was mean to, and she has to go to detention as well.
But she also feels kind of liberated for having, I don't know, had confidence or something.
I think just having, been sort of, I guess, standing up for herself and just kind of doing what she wants in a way, which would be kind of liberating.
Yeah.
I think what the intention was, but maybe didn't come across so strongly, is that the good Alex was meant to be more of a goody two-shoes than the regular unsplit Alex.
Yeah, I think so.
She was kind of a doormat.
She was like overly considerate.
Yeah. And so, they were the two sort of distant sides of a coin rather than a bad Alex and a normal Alex, which I think was the impression I got from the first episode.
Hang on. There's just someone at the door. Let me just go see who that is.
I think I know who this is going to be.
Hello? Oh, no, it's you. Yeah, it's me. I'm back.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Is that Bad Callan?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What are you doing? Don't do that. Yeah, get in that hole. Yeah. Hey, bro.
Hey, what did you do with good Callan?
I put
well,
him in
average,
a...
Well, average, average Callan. Let's be honest.
I put him in a half liter packet of Pepsi Max.
Oh, no. Oh, no, not Pepsi Max. Not the evil soda.
Yeah, Pepsi Max doesn't even got sugar or nothing. I drink like 12 liters of that a day.
God.
Oh, I'm on my way to the gym to lift weights. But only my quads.
That is truly evil.
Feels good, man.
So Dark Callan, what brings you onto the podcast today?
I just wanted to see if anyone was interested in subscribing to my newsletter, where I mainly give.
Hey, Dark Callan, did you ever work as a security guard in like episode 4 of season 1 of The Secret World of Alex Mack, and you got fired for watching Dharma and Greg?
My favorite show is 2.5 Men.
Oh, that is truly evil. That is dark.
I like Modern Family also. No, I just want people to subscribe to my newsletter where I tell them about what's going on in cryptocurrency, how they can buy non-fungible tokens.
Hey, Dark Callan, in the episode of Secret World of Alex Mack I just watched, there seemed to be some animosity between bad Alex and good Alex. What things that good Callan do that really like really bug you? What really annoys you about good Callan?
When he puts the lid on the toothpaste, I hate that. Flushing. No.
Just bathroom stuff? Is it all bathroom stuff?
Mainly bathroom stuff. Putting his shoes away. Closing the cupboard doors. Hate it.
How is he when he makes an espresso coffee at his fancy design job? Does he, when he's finished, does he take the group head out and tap it into the bin, or does he just leave the coffee in there and let the next person do it?
Oh, he taps it out and he cleans the milk nozzle and everything.
Oh, wow. F*** that guy.
He correctly pronounces espresso martini. He does not say espresso martini, which is
but
just...
he doesn't order them. But he doesn't order them because those are for evil people.
I love an espresso martini. It's my favorite drink. I love to go to a regular pub and order an espresso martini. And also not ask if they serve them, just flat out order an espresso martini. Or when it's someone else's round and they say, what do you want? I say, I'll just have an espresso martini. That's me. That's what I love to do.
Do you like going to those places that sometimes have espresso martinis on tap?
Oh, they're my favorite type of espresso martini. When they use Nescafe, mwah. I also love kissing people on the cheeks to say hello. 3 kisses.
Oh, well, this is all very, very dire, Callan. And what are you planning to do now that you've managed to get rid of good Callan and kind of take over his life? What are your plans?
You know, probably just steal his Netflix password and put it on the internet.
Yep. You're really going to mess up his algorithm.
I'm going to subscribe to a bunch of email newsletters.
About crypto.
Mainly about crypto, that's right. I'm going to eat all the peanut butter with my finger.
Yeah. Hey, something I learned about myself from this episode is that I'm in some ways the badass Jack who wears the leather jacket, because I too eat peanut butter out of the jar with my finger sometimes.
You monster. I don't know how to end this bit, Jack.
Hey, Bad Callan, what's in that dishwasher?
Let me just go have a look.
You just crawl in there and check. Good Callan, go get the dishwasher.
Okay. I'm back.
Oh, is that you? Wait, I have to check. It's my round, Callan. What drink do you want?
I'll have an espresso martini.
Okay. I mean, still a dick move, but at least you're still.
No, I'm okay. Sometimes you need a little bit of good. Sometimes yin and yang, you know, Jack. You need to have
absolutely.
A balance. Yep. That's it's all about balance.
Yeah, for sure. So like if you were ordering those two expensive beers and you needed to balance them and you had like a helmet that had beers. I don't know where I'm going with this.
She doesn't have a cat. Her mom's name isn't Pat, but she always, well, almost always wears a hat. Alex Mack wears a hat.
How about that?
Does she wear a hat? She's got the hat on from the first episode still. The yep. good Alex does. Yep. Bad yep. Alex doesn't like hats. That's no. kind of one of her things. She likes yeah. pleather jackets.
You know what else Bad Alex doesn't like? Did you notice at the end of the episode where good Alex has come back and they're sort of starting the showdown in the bedroom and bad Alex is just sitting on Annie's bed pulling apart floppy disks?
No, I did not notice
that's
that.
What she was doing. She
that's
was like,
so little, funny. That's actually little, really funny.
Floppy disk, the little bit that would spring back yep. and forth at the yep. top. She was just pulling those off and throwing them across the room.
That is hilarious.
That's badass. So she doesn't like hats and she was doing that. So Alex is wearing her blue hat and then like at the end of the episode, as it's resolving, she's got her maroon cap on backwards as well.
Yeah. So she changes hats in the episode.
She does, yes.
That's weird because she doesn't change anything else. Why would she change hats?
No, she was wearing a different outfit at the end as well.
The good Alex.
Good Alex, yeah. When she was like apologizing to Robin and...
Okay, after yeah. they reformed. Gotcha.
After they've reformed, yeah. But in the new outfit she's wearing, she's got a pink t-shirt with a... I think it's like the local sports team or something, but it's got like a Spartan helmet or like
yeah,
a Roman
it was
Roman
very
centurion.
Strange. The font was unappealing. Kind of like a weird script, but it was yeah. paired with a Roman helmet and it's like... Yeah. Come on, dude. Use like a kind of Roman typeface. Times New Roman, maybe.
Times New Roman. Oh, that was some good Cal
you
stuff.
You f***ing idiot. Which part of Calan do you think that like correcting people on their font choices is? Do people like that?
I live with a designer and I can tell you, Calan, people do not like that. People like it's not like when design is happening, then maybe, but just in everyday life, being like having it pointed out to you when a font sucks.
Yeah. Do people like it when you're like out at a nice restaurant and you're kind of like, that's a strange pairing?
Mm. Yeah.
Of
no,
fonts,
people hate
not
that.
Of flavors. It looks delicious, but yeah, you know, weird.
No, when I'm in that situation, I'm like, this is a strange pairing of people. I'm leaving. I don't want to dinner with you anymore.
I do. One of my favorite things though is when you're like out in kind of rural towns mm-hmm. and looking at the signs for generally the best signs are either for like panel beaters or like automotive mm-hmm. places mm-hmm. or hairdressers.
Yeah.
They all just have these weird names and just very baffling font choices.
It's as many fonts as we can get on a sign.
Yeah, like you know the ones where they'll often do things like use the fonts that are supposed to be like you know when you have like a single big letter as like kind of a title, like a kind
of yeah.
They'll use that for an entire paragraph of yeah. text. Like
the only thing I thought this episode of Alex Mack was missing. I mean, it was missing a lot of things, but the main thing I thought it would have benefited from was we've talked like I think like many episodes ago about the soundtrack to Alex Mack. It sounds like one guy with a synthesizer, mm-hmm. kind of just doodling or making it up as he goes along.
A
lot of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then the more introspective scenes are like the flute preset, and it's like
yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of that with Annie being like pensive and
yeah.
and like, oh no, what am I going yeah. to do? Do, do, do.
I definitely thought this episode, whenever bad Alex Mack did something badass, I just thought electric guitar power
cord. Really needed an electric guitar whip. Take that, right?
Yeah, I thought that would have been cool. I think that might have changed. That would have actually made me think she was a badass.
Actually, you know what would be the ultimate like bad Alex musical sting?
What's that?
Bad Alex 2021. We're here.
Throw your f***ing hands up.
I love this setting.
Well, Callan, I reckon that's just about going to do it for us for this episode of The Secret World of Callan Jack, in which Callan Jack watch Alex Mack. Callan, have you had a good time?
I've had a bad time.
Oh, no.
And back.
Oh, no. To be continued.
Bye.
Bye, Cal. I had a really good time with this episode. I thought there were like stakes.
Yeah. This episode really did not need to be split into two. Like if they had literally just done the previously on and there was no previous episode, that would have been completely fine.
I think so. But I think like part of the issue with the show, that aside, I think the episodes are 20 minutes long. So they don't have enough time to build up, because they've got to do the intro of the episode, they've got to set it up, and they've got to resolve it, which only leaves like 10 minutes in the middle for action.
Yeah, that's true.
And so extending it out like this means that, you know, there's time for the stakes to build up for Alex herself, and, you know, there's time for the parents to kind of build up how worried they're getting and their confusion about why Alex is acting like that.
Did you ever watch that show, AP Bio?
I think I watched the first episode, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a sitcom set in it's kind of like a School of Rock, but with a little bit more of an edge to it, like this kind of arsehole teacher. Anyway, there's this one kind of experimental episode of that where the whole episode is just previously on, and it just keeps going for 25 right. minutes.
Like Memento?
Yeah, and it's pretty good because it just allows them to like cover ridiculous amounts of plot really quickly.
Yeah.
And so it's like kind of like a year worth of stuff happens in this one episode because it keeps previously on ing.
Yeah.
And they should just do that more.
Remember in Arrested Development, every episode would end with "next time on Arrested Development."
And I used to always skip that because it's like, I didn't know that there was gags in that for like ages, because I had it on like, you know, DVD or whatever, and I would just skip to the next episode. Yeah.
Well, next time on The Secret World of Callan Jack, in which Callan Jack watch Alex Mack, we'll be watching episode 3 of season 3 of The Secret World of Alex Mack. Until then, you can send an email to secretworldpod@gmail.com. Let us know what you're up to. I haven't spoken to you guys for a while, so, you know, it'd be nice to hear what you guys are up to for once. Until next time, I've been Jack.
I've been bad, Callan.
my best friend Ray thinks I'm bad.
And my sister Annie likes the flute.
We'll speak to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.